Last Sunday, I talked about reputations and the need to extend charity toward those who might, in certain circumstances, situations, make false assumptions about us, and based on their past experiences with us and observations, what we could call our track record, you know, we have to accept the fact that we have conditioned people to make such assumptions. And instead of getting all irate and worked up, we should use the opportunities for self-examination and work on repairing our image. And so essentially that sermon was driven by, you know, these two points: expect others to hold your past against you, and in that be charitable toward them when they wrongly assume something. And on the other hand, do not hold the past of others against them. Be charitable in giving them the benefit of the doubt and always assume the best, not the worst. In other words, at all times, in all situations, make every effort to be at peace with all people. Well, this morning I want to continue with lessons from the Proverbs, and today's subject will have some similarities to that of last week in the sense that I will be calling on us again to extend charity in areas that are not easy to do. It could be a rather sensitive subject, something we have all been guilty of, and all have been the victim of as well. And hopefully this won't stir up any emotions this morning. In fact, my goal is to make this the least emotional sermon I've ever given. So I figured I'd get more response from that. All right. So today, from the book of Proverbs, we're going to be looking at the subject of gossip. And as you will see, that subject will take us into similar subjects. And now this topic of gossip has actually been on my mind for quite some time. And it has come up in a number of conversations I've had with various members here over the past couple years. And eventually, the question is raised. And it's a question that I have wrestled with and still wrestle with some, but I've really wrestled with. What exactly is gossip? And is it always wrong? Is it always a sin? And based on observations I've made, it has become apparent to me that folks have different ideas about what it is and isn't, and what's permitted and what's forbidden. And again, I'll admit that I've not had a clear picture of this myself, but it's something that I'm currently gaining a better understanding of, hopefully, and just am eager to share with you some of my findings and conclusions on this. Take the following example. We still don't have any Walters in this church, right? I'm safe with that name. Walter takes me out to lunch and complains that Susan is a big gossip and gives examples. Does this now make Walter guilty of gossip? One could make the case that it does. One could make the case that it doesn't. And one could make the case that it could go either way, depending on something else, like Walter's motive, for instance, or whether he himself has suffered harm, or if he's just getting into business that he has no business getting into. And if Walter were to add, "I'm not the only one who feels this way," well, would that not demonstrate, in fact, that others have been gossiping about Susan's gossip? Well, it depends, again, on what you mean by gossip. And so we want to spend a little time on that this morning. And my approach today is going to be a little bit different than a typical sermon on the subject. For instance, while gossip certainly needs to be condemned, that's not really the objective for today. This isn't going to be one of those heavy-handed rebuke-type sermons where, you know, that this subject would normally invite. Instead, really, for today, my main objective is that of promoting charity, encouraging us to extend charity toward those we talk about to others, and extending charity to those who, behind our backs, talk about us, especially when such talk is less than complimentary. But before we get into all that, I want to take a quick look at those Proverbs that specifically mention gossip, and then we'll try to figure out what gossip really is and isn't. And this then will bring up similar practices closely related. We have five Proverbs where the word gossip is mentioned. 11:13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. 18:8, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. And 26:20, without wood, a fire goes down. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Well, these proverbs give us some useful observations. Gossip stirs up dissension and ruins friendships. It fuels quarrels. Gossip is inevitable for those who talk too much. And when it comes to hearing gossip, well, we all, each of us, really have an appetite for it. We welcome it like choice morsels. Silky, smooth, creamy, bite-sized pieces of rich and refined Belgium chocolate. Does that paint the picture? All right. So all these are helpful observations, each one, of course, a sermon in itself. But again, they don't really contribute to our understanding of what gossip actually is. Maybe a little bit, but not precisely. And so I want to share with you, I want to start off here by sharing with you a number of different scenarios. And let's see which ones strike you as gossip and which ones don't. And the telling question, of course, would be, well, why? What in your mind qualifies something as gossip? And if not gossip, then the next question would be, would the action in the example that I give in these, would that be objectionable? Would it be wrong in some level? Or perhaps could it be acceptable? Or perhaps even in some of these, maybe even prudent? All right, you ready for this? The Johnsons ask you and your husband to babysit their kids while they go out for their anniversary. They assure you that their kids are adorable, but when that night comes, they're anything but. They're wild, defiant, unruly, and disobedient. The two of you are both resolved to never watch those kids again. The whole thing was a disaster. Later in the week, you are at dinner with another couple, close friends, who also know the Johnsons. Is it gossip in the course of normal conversation to share that experience with them? Is it gossip to make statements suggesting that the Johnsons don't have a clue on how to raise their kids? Next, someone you know in your homeschooling co-op designs websites as a side job, and he agrees to set one up for your small home business for $600. And he needs some money up front for initial expenses, and so in the spirit of good faith, you go ahead and give him the full amount. However, he never comes through. Over the course of several months, you pester him to either do the job or return your money, but neither one happens. Is it gossip to tell others about your experience with this person? To express your frustration to others? If not gossip, is it wrong to share such things? Is it wrong to warn others about someone? A neighbor has accused you falsely of backing into his car that was parked on the street and plans to take you to court. You become quite worried about this, but a friend of yours who knows the neighbor quite well tells you that this guy has a history of suing everyone for anything and makes up stuff like this all the time, and there's no need for you to worry. Detecting that you're still a little bit nervous about all this, he goes on telling you several such stories as examples and how the judge has never ruled in his favor. In this attempt to comfort you, is your friend guilty of gossip? Is it wrong for him to share all of those stories and talk so frankly about the man's character? A fellow church member has a teenage daughter whose boyfriend has bragged about the liberties he has taken with her. You heard this from your own daughter, who heard it from a friend, who heard it from her brother, who heard guys laughing about it in the locker room. Are you now sharing in the gossip by relaying what you have heard to her parents? Driving home from church on a Sunday morning, the topic of the sermon comes up. Even the teenagers in the back seat weigh in. In the course of that discussion, certain evaluations are made. The speaker seemed disorganized. His points were based on personal experience rather than scripture. He seemed to have an attitude. His illustrations were confusing. Would such discussions be gossip? If not gossip, are such discussions wrong to have? Is it wrong to share together such criticisms behind a person's back? Well, the news media, as you know, is always hungry for a scandal and often make allegations about public figures like politicians, celebrities, sports figures, and so on. And in this, they like to quote unnamed sources. Though such stories have not yet been verified, they nonetheless become the news of the day, leaving the audience suspecting that the person probably did do the very heinous thing that's alleged. Is it gossip to share in that? Is it wrong for Christians to spread such reports? You know, did you see the news today? There's a story about Reverend Brown being accused of sexual misconduct. Weren't you once a member of his church? The fact that the news media has made it public, does that change things? Or the fact that Reverend Brown is a public figure, does that change things? Wilbur, Harold, and Ivan together own a local plumbing business that has become quite successful. However, Wilbur is suspicious and starts to believe that Harold is cooking the books. And so he meets with Ivan secretly to share his concerns and obtain any information he might have. And in that meeting, they exchange reports they have learned in recent months about Harold's past and have noted that some of their customers have warned them about Harold. In this discussion, exchanging disparaging comments about Harold with each other and sharing rumors they have heard, is that gossip? Not gossip, is this wrong? Are there different rules that come into play when a business is involved? During the Sunday service, an opportunity is provided for people to share something they are thankful for. Several participate. One member stands up and thanks the Lord that her divorce has been finalized. And now she is free to marry again and asks the church to pray that she finds the right husband. Afterwards, various members comment among themselves that that was a little weird and seemed inappropriate. Would that be gossip? If not, would the exchange of those sorts of comments be wrong? I have one more. A pastor and a church member get into a dispute, which eventually becomes quite heated. Finally, the pastor commands the church member to submit and quotes Hebrews 13:17. The pastor shares this experience with the other elders, complaining about the member's defiance. Would that be gossip? The member shares his experience with a few close friends who are also members, complaining about the pastor's stubbornness and harshness. Well, would that be gossip? If not, would that be wrong? All right, we could go on. In fact, I eliminated about 20. You probably grew up hearing the same sorts of pithy sayings that I've heard. If you don't have something nice to say about someone, don't say anything at all. And if you have something to say, don't say it behind a person's back. Stuff like that. And such statements are usually made in the context of condemning gossip. And so I think a lot of us have automatically concluded that any disparaging word made about someone to someone is gossip and is sin and is forbidden. It is how we've been conditioned. I know that I have through the years. You know, if you don't have something nice to say about a person, don't say anything at all, can be, you know, fairly good advice, but we have to admit that it does have limitations because I don't exactly know how to square that little saying with Paul telling the Galatians that he confronted Peter about his hypocrisy. Or Luke, in giving a history of how the gospel spread in the early church, tells Theophilus and all his readers of a falling out he witnessed between Paul and Barnabas. And Luke also writes about other people in ways that are less than complimentary. Judas, Ananias and Sapphira, Simon the magician, the Sanhedrin, Saul, Herod Agrippa I, Governor Felix, and others. John tells his readers that Diotrephes loves to be first and spells out to his readers a number of his sins, including that of gossiping. Is it gossip to tell others about another person's gossip? In his letter to Timothy, Paul names people he is upset with, like Alexander and Demas, and names their sins. Paul himself would get reports from other churches, like the church at Corinth. In the Corinthian report, probably written by a man named Stephanus, would be a detailed list of all their problems and heresies and in-house fighting and all this stuff. And he even goes on to tell Paul about one of their members, the rumor being that he's sleeping with their mother-in-law. Sounds an awful lot like gossip. But maybe it isn't. And then to further complicate the question, we have, well, example of Jesus. He takes his disciples aside and warns them about the sins and hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees, not to mention the time that Jesus stood before the crowds, calling these religious leaders blind fools, hypocrites, whitewashed tombs, snakes, brood of vipers, and sons of hell. And so is it ever appropriate to say something negative, something critical about someone to someone else? Well, clearly there is. What rules would come into play on that? Well, I believe the Bible gives us some, and we'll explore some of that here shortly. Is it ever appropriate to pass on secondhand information, things you have learned from others that you cannot verify? Typically, no. But sometimes it might be. I could think of situations, rare, but some situations where that would not be just acceptable, but really the right thing to do. So gossip, the word itself, has become kind of a catch-all term used for any time someone speaks ill of another person behind his back. But that, I'm proposing to you, that brush is way too broad. Not everything that seems to be gossip is. And we should try to use that word only when it really does apply to the situation. Let's take these five proverbs here that we looked at earlier. There are two Hebrew words that are translated gossip, and both of those words are found in these five verses. And both pretty much have the same meaning. A gossip is one who divulges secrets or passes on rumors. Other translations render the words talebearer or whisperer. In divulging secrets, the problem, of course, is that they are betraying a confidence. In passing on rumors, the problem is that rumors haven't been verified, and this could amount to the same thing as that of spreading lies. It is for these reasons that gossip is condemned. It is not so much that something negative is said about someone to someone behind their back, as it is that you are spreading something around that you shouldn't be spreading. If it is a secret, then honor your word and keep it a secret. If it is a rumor, then don't open yourself up to passing on lies and false accusations that could harm someone. Don't be a party to that. And behind gossip, what often drives it is on some level an intent that is less than honorable. Typically, it has a malicious element to it. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia notes that very thing in its definition. Quote, in its biblical setting, gossip is used to designate the spreading of secrets or rumors, usually for the purpose of slander. Maliciously spreading something around that you shouldn't be spreading. So this is probably as good as it gets when it comes to a working definition of gossip. And so when you hear the word gossip being thrown around, it would probably serve you well to just stop and ask, what do you mean by that? In fact, for the purpose of clarity, I'm actually trying to get in the habit myself of using words that are more accurate in describing what is going on. Again, that's because not everything that sounds, looks, or smells like gossip is gossip or is necessarily wrong or sinful. For instance, slander might be more descriptive in some settings, or backbiting, or spreading false accusations, or circulating lies, or putting someone down, criticizing. Mudslinging might, in some situations, be more accurate than gossip, or vilifying, or perhaps stirring up dissension. And even when it comes to gossip itself, it might be better to be more precise, like, you know, betraying a confidence, or spreading a rumor, divulging a secret, if that's what's going on. And when something is said about someone to someone that is meant to be helpful, then gossip would certainly not be the best word to use. Think of the examples I mentioned earlier. A word like warning, for instance, would be more accurate in portraying what is going on. It's supposed to be a blank slide there. All right. So with all that said, let's now move on to the heart of the matter. I had to take time with all that because, again, the word gossip has come to mean these, has all these different shades of meaning to people, and that lack of clarity, I think, could have been an obstacle. So part two, charity. Charity and what we say about others to others. And we could spend a lot of time on this, but for today, I just simply offer Ephesians 4:29 as a good rule of thumb. Whether it is gossip or slander or putting someone down or warning someone about someone, whatever the case, let Ephesians 4:29 govern our speech. Do not let any unwholesome word come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up according to their needs. This wouldn't be the only verse that we could refer to, but I think this one serves us really quite well as a starting point. You know, this thing about Larry that I want to share about George, is it wholesome? Is it helpful? Filter all that through those two questions, you know, derived from that passage. Is it wholesome? Is it helpful? You know, I would encourage us not to get bogged down in trying to figure out whether this is gossip or something else. The real issue is it wholesome? Is it helpful? Start with motive. Do I have anything malicious going on inside of me? Do I have something to gain in sharing this that would be less than honorable? And is what I am about to share regarding Larry true? Not just a rumor, but true. Can I stand behind it? Will I be revealing something that I am not at liberty to reveal? And does George really need to know? What would the benefit actually be? And regarding Larry, will what I am about to say bring him undeserved harm? It might help him. In fact, if so, great. But if not, then certainly reluctance would be called for. Those sorts of questions, I believe, would be helpful to help keep us in line with the spirit of this passage here in Ephesians. We could think of, all of us could think of examples where it would be prudent to say something uncomplimentary about another person and still be in keeping with this verse. And we could all think of examples where it would not be. So next week, I'll want to dig into all this a little bit more and look at a number of Proverbs that warn us about that which is unwholesome, slander, malicious talk, plotting harm, sowing seeds of discord, spreading rumors, and so on. There's quite a bit there that we'll want to cover, and it all has to do with extending charity to those that we talk about. But for the rest of our time this morning, I want to shift our focus to the other direction, to that of extending charity when you are the one being talked about. Charity when you are the object of gossip or the object of any chit-chat where people are saying unflattering things about you behind your back. And in fact, this really is the reason I chose this subject for today, because I'm eager to challenge us in this area. And it fits in with last week. And it is here in particular that some of those principles that we talked about last week will sound familiar. So I have 5 points to cover. I assume that all of you have had bad things said about you behind your back, correct? Everybody? All right? Maybe not currently. This may not be going on now, but at some point it has happened and will probably happen in the future. And I assume that you also realize that you have no idea how much and how often this actually occurs, correct? Aren't you comforted by that? I think we'd all be horrified if we only knew. All right, number one. One reason you should extend charity is because, well, you have done it yourself. We all have. None of us are innocent in this. To condemn others of this is to condemn ourselves. Number two, another reason is because, according to the Bible, mercy triumphs over judgment. The same mercy we have received from the Lord, we should show to others. Most of the time, the nature of the offense is pretty minor. The only thing that got hurt was our pride. And so how far do we really want to take it? How upset do we really want to get? Who knows? All that praying for humility that we're encouraging everyone to do, maybe this is part of that. Follow the example of Jesus. Accept the humiliation. In the end, we take, of course, comfort in the fact that the Lord himself will right all wrongs and that it is his business, not ours, to avenge those injustices that we have suffered. Our business, of course, is to bear with each other and forgive. And so these proverbs from last week and the verse from Colossians, he who covers an offense promotes love. A person's insight gives him patience, and his virtue is to overlook an offense. Wisdom, again, yields patience, patience with others. Wisdom, thinking correctly about a situation, enables us to cut others some slack. Wisdom helps us to put everything in its proper perspective, to see the bigger picture. Wisdom from above, James says, is peace-loving, considerate, full of mercy. And this passage from Colossians, is equally fitting. And I'll start back with the previous verse. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bear with each other. Number three, be more troubled for the reason for the talk that is going on than by all the talk itself. We have to realize that 99% of the time, the things that people are saying behind our backs isn't created out of thin air. Now, this is basic cause and effect 101. If there is smoke, there is fire. If there is talk, there is something that caused that talk. And so we have to assume our role in all of this. If, for instance, people are going around complaining how gruff I am with visitors, then I should be more troubled that I am gruff than I am that people are talking about it. You know, if you are upset that people are engaged in all sorts of chit-chat about how you seek attention or how stingy you are or that you are contentious or that you dress immodestly or that you are impersonal or whatever the case may be, well, fix what needs fixed. I mean, we should be fuming far more over our own sins than over the sins of others, right? Amen? So these actually can be opportunities for some much-needed self-reflection. And so own your actions. When you choose the behavior, you choose the consequences of that behavior as well. And one of the consequences is the reaction of other people. Number four, if the rumors, criticisms, or unflattering words are not true, then sometimes the best thing to do is to, as I like to put it, let the product speak for itself. Sometimes, depending on the situation, you may have to confront the lies with the truth. There are times when Jesus did that. And sometimes it is better to just let it be and let the whole thing run its course and die out. And Jesus did that as well. You know, anyone who watched him with any objectivity at all would soon catch on that Jesus was not demon-possessed, as some were trying to say. You know, his life spoke for itself. We're going to talk more about false accusations and slander next week. And here I'm thinking serious accusations. But for today, what I have here in mind are not that kind of thing, but just reckless words that are hurtful and, you know, untrue. But they don't really amount to anything all that serious. There's no real damage done. On these, it is a whole lot easier to silence the lies and malicious talk by letting your life speak for itself than trying to chase all that down. And likewise, it's a whole lot more effective to let your life speak for itself than grabbing a microphone and telling the whole world that you're innocent. False accusations and lies can do damage, and I don't want to downplay that, but more times than not, they just don't get any traction, they die out. Again, counsel from the book of Proverbs. 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. 26:2, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. I really like that last one there. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Finally, number five. This is going a whole lot quicker than I was assuming it would go. Number five, if you are a public figure, unflattering comments come with the territory. Deal with it. If you are a school teacher, own or manage a business, a leader in your church, if you hold a public office, lead a nonprofit organization, or assume any sort of visible role in any circle, then expect that people are going to talk about you. And expect that they will talk about you in ways that are less than complimentary, and that they will do this behind your back. Now, I'm not justifying any of that. I'm just encouraging us to realize this is the way it works and to not get sideways when it happens. I mean, basically, it's what you signed up for. Now, I'm not really a public figure, but in this particular circle here in our church, I recognize that I hold a visible and prominent position. And I assume that folks in this church talk about me. I'm not really that interesting, and so I don't think that there's a lot of talk, but there's probably some now and then. And I would assume that some of it is positive. I mean, there is, after all, much positive to talk about. This is time for you to really say amen. All right. And I would assume that some of it is negative, and there's plenty of that firewood as well. I would assume that on the way home from church, sermons are sometimes evaluated and criticized. And if you have done that, hey, it's okay. At least you were listening. You know, I mean, why would any of us think that something like that would be off limits? The same goes for the other stuff. How I handle things, decisions I make, the way I treat people, things I say to the group, things I say to individuals, what I support and prioritize, what I don't care about and ignore. Even what I wear and how I walk, all open to scrutiny. You know, I can't expect that people aren't going to occasionally talk or complain or make fun of me behind my back. You know, Help bear one another's burdens. Go for it, all right? I also assume that some of the things people complain or talk about me are not true. And that's tougher to accept. But at the end of the day, I'm okay with that as well. Because I get credit for a lot of things I don't deserve, and so I should be willing to take the blame for things I don't deserve either. In my mind, it's a wash. Now, I'm not saying that all this is to be encouraged. I'm not saying that everything that is said is permissible in the sight of God. That's another subject, another sermon. My point is simply this. Anyone who assumes a visible role in their community, church, organization, business, whatever it might be, needs to accept the fact that right or wrong, this is part of the package, and we just have to roll with it. And in the name of forbearance, charity, and mercy, endure it and move on. And actually, when you think about it, and here's the point I really want to press with you here as I'm getting ready to close. The life of every Christian is on display and open to scrutiny, not just those who are public figures. The very fact that you name the name of Jesus will set you apart, and that invites inspection and evaluation on a closer level. And that will lead to people talking. And sometimes naming the name of Jesus and standing for righteousness will invite resistance and malicious talk. Just that. Here we might think of the words of Jesus. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Again, this is what you signed up for when you crossed over to his side. So a quick recap of what we have covered this morning so far. One, gossip has several nuances and can mean different things to different people in different settings, and so it might be helpful to ask a person what he means when the word gossip is being tossed around. Two, for our part, it might be better to use other words or phrases that are more accurate in describing what's going on in that situation. Slander, divulging secrets, spreading false accusations, maliciously putting someone down, circulating rumors, that kind of thing. Three, at all times, in all situations, let us make every effort to be at peace with all people. And so, let us show charity in the way we talk about someone to someone. In Ephesians 4:29, would serve us quite well in governing our everyday speech on such matters. And number four, very important, let us be charitable toward those who say terrible things about us behind our backs. And we need to be charitable for many reasons, as noted, but if for nothing else, it is because we've been guilty ourselves of that very thing. And so let us bear with each other in love and forgive. People bear with us, we need to bear with them. So next week we will continue with this. We'll spend some time looking at a number of proverbs that provide counsel on speech that is wholesome and helpful and speech that is unwholesome and unhelpful. And we'll tackle some of the challenges involved when we are required or when it is prudent to say something negative about someone to someone. So let's stand, and I'm going to close by reading these words from Romans 12. The scripture I sometimes close the service with because they serve as great marching orders. Paul writes to the Romans, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Upon those words, you are dismissed. Go in Christ's name. Enjoy each other and serve each other in love.